today, or we're one church, but we are in multiple locations. So we're broadcasting live to our other campuses, including our online campus. And today we're kicking off a brand new teaching series called Marvel. Can I just hear from everybody that likes the movies, Marvel movies? Can I just hear you if you like Marvel movies? Come on, let me hear you. Okay, and then for the other half that doesn't like it, it's only 3 weeks long, okay? The series is only 3 weeks long. And if you're wondering what we're doing, it's like this is our kickoff to summer, okay? We want to do something fun and creative. And here's the deal. Like, in the characters we're going to look at, we're going to look at one character each week for 3 weeks. Each of these characters are just regular human beings that get a superhuman gift so that they can use them for good. You and me, watch this. This is deep, okay? This is profound. You and me are just human beings that through the Holy Spirit, we get a superhuman gift to use them to glorify God and to bless one another. That's marvelous. All right? So I want you to marvel at the superhuman gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to focus in on the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to both bring glory to God and to do marvelous things to bless one another. And to kick it off today, on Mother's Day, I couldn't think of a better person to speak from our staff than one who was actually born here, right? Put in the nursery right here at the Kearney campus. Grew up in the children's church right here at our Kearney campus. Went through our young adult and high school ministries. And then got married and moved away. And as it was seen by God to be fit in his wisdom, brought her back here. And then now she serves as our children's pastor here at our Kearney campus. Our very own Michaela Risk is going to be given God's word today. Come on, guys, would you jump to your feet? Jump to your feet and give it up for our children's pastor, Michaela Risk. Come on, everybody. Yeah, we love it. Come on, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is. Man, it's so good to be with you today. I am just honored, and honestly, it feels a little more relaxing to be in here compared to, like, a kid's church. You know, usually I'm like, settle down over here. All right, get off your friend. Like, let's just keep playing. Like, let's listen to the Lord today, you know. So it's really an honor to be here today. Moms, happy Mother's Day. We honor you today. I hope that today you feel loved, honored, blessed. And today we get to kick off the Marvel series. Man, so this is just a fun day to be with you guys. You know, my family loves Marvel. I remember the first connection I had to Marvel was I went and watched the original Avengers, which if you know, you know, and if you don't, that's okay. Someday maybe you will, okay? But the original Avengers, where all these random superheroes all come together and they work together to save the world. It was amazing. I was like, wow, this is so cool. My husband and I started dating, and he started watching Marvel, you know, so we had this, like, connection point. It was so nice. We could talk about it. But then he went and, like, took it to the not the, like, normal extreme, but, like, the extreme. And now he's, like, into all the comics and all the characters. So if you have any concerns with my storytelling today or any of the superhero facts, please direct that attention to my husband because he knows way better than I do all the superhero things. But, man, we have this is just going to be a fun series. You know, it's really interesting. We're kicking off this Holy Spirit, right, and what it means to live this superpowered life through God. Through God's power. And our kids are also studying the Holy Spirit. Our preschoolers are, our elementary kids. So as a church, we're all investing in, like, man, what does God have for us through the Holy Spirit? And I think that's really unique and super awesome that we're all studying that same thing. So it's just a really special month to be studying the Holy Spirit. So I'm really excited today. My husband and I, we are expecting our second child. I have a little three-nager, but we have a second kid coming. Woohoo! We're so excited. We just found out a couple weeks ago that it's a little boy. Ooh. So we're really excited about that. We have a little girl right now, so I'm just anticipating a totally different experience. But, you know, we are in the conversations of, like, what should we name our kid? Right? Man, if you know, like, what a fun conversation. Like, that name's off the table. Don't you dare mention that name again. I literally have a name that I'm not allowed to bring up again, right? So, like, they're like, it's the name conversation. And so this is really the perfect introduction to today's character because my husband, one of the first names that he brought up for a boy, seriously, because he likes Marvel. He was like, you know, what about Peter? And I was like, Peter, like, you know, I'm a pastor, so I'm thinking, like, Peter was a really admirable guy. He's like, what about, like, Peter Parker? And I was like, oh, boy, Peter Parker Risk, you can't do that to a kid. But that's who we're talking about today. We're talking about Spider-Man. I will let you down. We are not naming our child Peter Parker. But, you know, it was a good shot. But we're talking about Spider-Man. Man, if you don't know who Spider-Man is, I promise your kid knows who Spider-Man is. He's probably like the most famous Marvel superhero, I think. Like, just a lot of people know who Spider-Man is. So Spider-Man, if you don't know, was a teenage boy who grew up in New York City. He was raised by his aunt and his uncle, Aunt May and Uncle Ben. They loved him. He was orphaned, right? So he had a little bit of like a complicated past, but he was really loved by his aunt and uncle and raised by them. He was a super nerd. So, like, science was his thing. He was innovative. He knew all about sciencey things. That was his thing. But he was also, like, a scrawny little guy. So being a nerd and a scrawny little guy, a teenager, he got beat up a lot. He did. He was bullied a lot. And so what would happen is, like, man, you're getting bullied. And he wanted to stand up for other people, right? He had good intentions, but he lacked any power to do anything. Until one day, he goes on a field trip, a science field trip. And while they're there, they go into this room and there are radioactive spiders. And you watch as this spider falls from the ceiling right over Spider-Man and he bites Spider-Man and yay! He gets infected with the radioactive power and he develops these spider senses. Right? So now he has this spidey sense where he can detect when there's danger. Although, like, on the comics, like, his hair stands up, right? Like, oh, Spider-Man. He can crawl up walls. I think that's the coolest part. He swings from buildings in New York City. He gets all these powers that came from this radioactive bite, right? So he gets empowered. But the thing that I love about Spider-Man was he was just an ordinary guy. He's just a normal teenager with normal interactions with other people. He got bullied, but he was smart. He was just a normal guy. And today, we have good news. This spider isn't the only one choosing normal, ordinary people. In John 15:16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." God chose you today. In 1 Corinthians 27, in the Message version, it says, "Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? God chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with your blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. God makes ordinary extraordinary." The Bible shows us all the way from the beginning to the end of God choosing ordinary people, choosing the ones that the culture overlooks, right? That the culture says they're not going to amount to anything. They're just an ordinary person, right? God chooses them and makes them somebody. He gives them an extraordinary life so that God gets the glory. I loved how that version said it, so that no one can blow their own horn before God. So that when it happens, it's like, man, God, you did something great. I was thinking of the little boy in the Gospels, in the first part of the New Testament. There's a little boy who just shows up one day with his lunch to listen to Jesus, and he has fish and loaves, right? Like protein and something to burn the calories with, right? Like, and all the moms in the room that have a toddler say, that's what we go for, right? Chicken nuggets and mac and cheese. Like, that's the equivalent in today's world, I think. So he showed up with his chicken nuggets, his mac and cheese, and God sees not the ordinary, but the extraordinary. He takes that lunch, he takes that meal, And he performs a miracle where he feeds over 5,000 people. Like, that is an extraordinary moment that came from just a kid showing up with his lunch. Like, we all are showing up with our, we can show up with our lunch, right? Ordinary to extraordinary. Gideon, man, he's in the Old Testament. He's one of these historical characters from the Bible, right? And he was afraid. He was anxious. He was hiding. But when God sees him, he doesn't see the afraid, the scared, the ordinary. Like, I think that's ordinary, right? To be intimidated by an enemy. Instead, God sees a mighty warrior. Mary, it's Mother's Day, right? I think of Mother Mary, Jesus's mom, and how she was, I looked last night. The Bible says, and there was a virgin named Mary. Like, there's no, like, set up, like, oh, man, she was the holiest of holies, and she went to church all the time, and she was an ordinary gal. But God saw her and made her story extraordinary because she raised King Jesus. God makes our ordinary extraordinary. Often what you and I view as ordinary, someone else can see as extraordinary. So in honor of Mother's Day, I asked some of our kids, we have like a kids leadership team, and I asked them to come up with things that they appreciate about their mom, right? Things that they love about mom, they appreciate about mom, and I think you'll be surprised at how some of these things are extremely ordinary, but your kids see as extraordinary. Let's watch this.
Welcome to 60 Seconds with the New Life Kids Curve Leadership Team.
We have 60 seconds to tell you some things about moms that are marvelous.
I am so grateful for my mom because she is the most amazing person and is always there for me.
The most amazing thing my mom does is make time for a girl's day.
The most amazing thing my mom does is make my food for dinner.
A super mom does my laundry.
A super mom does everything she can to make me happy.
A super mom helps when you are stuck.
My mom is really, really super.
Fun fact, the average mom will have to change approximately 7,300 diapers by the time her baby reaches the age 2. Oh, I'm so grateful for my mom because she makes me good food.
Cleaning my room.
So grateful for my mom because she loves me.
A super mom does my nails?
Handwriting.
All right, those kids are fun, but would you give a round of applause to the super moms in the room? Moms, we want to honor you today. As a mom, we know what it feels like to be ordinary. If you are in that young mom stage, like, you get it. Like, the last minute, like, oh, I got the kids ready. I just got to put my hair up in the mom bun, right? It's a thing. Or, I think when I come to work and you're, like, looking across over your shoulder to talk to someone and you happen to glance down, you're like, my shoulder is full of boogers. Like, wonderful. I feel so ordinary right now, right? It's part of that motherhood, the seemingly everyday routine to care for our homes, our families. But in that ordinariness, God is making it extraordinary. You guys are raising, whether it's you have a nursery kid, fifth grader, teenager, a college student, an adult, you are raising amazing people. I get a front row seat to the kids and watching you as moms bring your kids in and raise them. And I just want you to know, like, I am encouraged and excited for the future of the church because you are raising incredible people. Great job, you guys. Great job, moms. I just honor you today. I want you to know that your faithfulness in the ordinary, God is going to use for extraordinary. Elizabeth Elliot is a great woman of faith, and she said it this way: ordinary work, which is what most of us do most of the time, is ordained by God every bit as much as is the extraordinary. So no matter if it's studenthood, parenthood, motherhood, fatherhood, grandparenthood, just adulthood, whatever hood you're in today, know that God is using your ordinary for extraordinary. But this is the important part. God gives great power. right? Spider-Man was just an ordinary guy until that moment when he received the spider bite of power that gave him these incredible abilities. And the Bible tells us that when you commit your life to the Lord, that he deposits his spirit inside of you. He gives you his great power. It says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead also lives in you. That is great power. So to help us with this point today, I asked some moms and their kids to come on up and play a game. So go ahead and grab your stuff, guys. Come on up. They're going to come up and help us play a game. You know, they invited the kids pastor to come in and speak today. So we got to do a game in true game style. At FX, our family service every month, we always do a fun mom and kid game, right? All right, so come stand right up here, okay? Mom, right back here. Leon, right over here, buddy, on this square. Okay, give your best smiles to everyone because they think, like, kids are cute, right? They're awesome. All right, they're great. Okay, so go ahead and turn around. You guys are going to have 30 seconds to spray the villains. Hold up the villains, moms. Like, they're cute. They're great. Okay, anyways. So you're going to spray the villains with your spidey web fluid, one can at a time. If you run out, you can do the other one. Your goal is to get this villain completely covered with trapped, I guess would be the term, with spider webs. Okay, are you ready? Go ahead. One more step back, Leon. You can. You're good, Lena. No, one more step back, Leon. And it's Mother's Day. Honor your mother. Try not to get in her face. All right. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Oh, wow. They're off. Oh, man. They're going right for mom. Good job. No, this kid. Keep it on your mom. All right. Good job. Keep it up. If it runs out, do your other can. Next can. Move on. Good job. They're doing great. You have 15 more seconds. Woo! There you go. Give it a shake if you need 10. We're almost there. Give it a shake. Yeah. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Done! Give it up for these guys. Wow. Good job. Way to go. You can take it. Robert Cass has a bucket for you, okay? Good job. Way to go, moms. Oh, mom, you got a little decorated. Happy Mother's Day. Yep. It's happened before. Way to go, you guys. Give them one more round of applause. Thanks for being a part of it. Man, we love silly games, and it is just goofy, but this is how I'm tying it in, so be gracious with me. This is a can. It's just a can, an ordinary, normal can. But what's inside the can is what gives it power, right? It's what's inside. But the can has to show up. If the can didn't come to play the game today, then we couldn't play the game, right? It had to show up. But it's what's inside is what gives it the power. Spider-Man was an ordinary guy, but what do we love about Spider-Man? He always showed up, right? He got his spidey sense, and he rushed to the scene to save. So he always showed up. He was always willing, and then the power inside is what was able to accomplish the good. God gives great power. Spider-Man by himself and his own ability was bullied. It wasn't until he was empowered that he was able to do anything. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, it says, each time he, God, said, my grace is all that you need. My power works best in weakness. For when I am weak, I am strong. If you feel weak today, if you're feeling really ordinary, exhausted, weak, I feel you, right? The pregnancy, woo, I feel tired. But hey, good news. God's power works best in weakness. Why? Because that verse we read earlier, right? When we're weak, that's when God gets to show up and go through his strength through us. God gives great power. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts, so use them well to serve one another. If you have committed your life to the Lord, you have received the Spirit of God. That's his deposit into you, saying, this person is mine. And if he's done that, then he's given you a spiritual gift to use to serve others. So are you willing? Are you eager to do good? Like Spider-Man was eager to show up. You know, Spider-Man was a teenager, and like any normal teenager, he decides to use his power to get money. So first he becomes this professional wrestler, and he creates a Spider-Man costume to hide his identity. He then goes on TV to do tricks, right? And one time afterwards, he had this interview, and while he was there, he's kind of walking off from the interview, and in comes a thief. Comes running right past him. And so Spider-Man, you know, watches, and then he hears a policeman yelling out, "Hey, buddy, anybody, stop that thief." And Spider-Man just lets him simply pass by. The policeman is furious with him. "What's with you, mister?" This is my New York accent, you know. "All you had to do was trip him or hold him for just a minute." And Peter says, "That is your job. I'm through being pushed around by anyone. From now on, I just look out for number one, and that means me." The policeman says, "I ought to run you in." But he just walks away. A few days later, Peter comes home to find that a robber has killed his dear Uncle Ben, someone really close to him. Spider-Man tracks him down, knocks the criminal out, and then discovers that it was the same thief that he had let run past him a couple days before. In a superhero history-making moment, Peter takes off his mask and reveals that he is crying. This is the first recorded time in the comic world that a hero has cried in remorse. He had an internal storm raging. The bubbles above his head show his thoughts, my fault, if only I had stopped that thief. My Uncle Ben is now dead. As Spider-Man fades away at the end of the comics, Stan Lee, who's the author, quotes President Truman and pens some of the most famous words in comics. And it says this: "With great power comes great responsibility." With great power comes great responsibility. He was given great power, but with that comes great responsibility. Spider-Man was ready to just look out for himself, right? He kind of let it get to his head, which I think anyone would when they are given some sort of superpower, super gift, right? They let it go to their head. But Spider-Man realizes with great power comes great responsibility. And while President Truman did say this statement, the whole idea and the thought really originates back from Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, where it says, "Much will be demanded from everyone who has been given much. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be asked." You, my friends, today, no matter your age, your life stage, the amount of time you have been a Christian, that you've not been a Christian, your skills, your past, your position, no matter what, if you have committed your life to the Lord, you have received the good, great power of God. He's deposited that into you. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be asked. I love that Spider-Man learned from his life's experiences. He chose to embrace the responsibility and become the friendly neighborhood superhero. He chose to use his power to better the place in where he was living and to be a great steward of the extraordinariness that he had been gifted, even in his ordinariness. You know, my husband and I, we lived up in Minnesota when we first got married, and while we were there, I was given the opportunity to be a kids pastor up there, and I loved it. I served there. I loved it. It was great. It was awesome. A couple years in, God gave us the opportunity to move back to Nebraska, and when we moved back, I was pregnant, and I was pretty sick, and so I stepped back from doing ministry, and even more than, like, as a job, I stepped back from serving. I just totally went like, "Whoa, I'm going to take a break from this." I knew God had given me a responsibility. He had given me his power and his gifts to do something. But I just stepped back and was like, "I need to focus on my family now." Then COVID hit. And with COVID, there just started to be this stirring inside of me, like God saying, "Kayla, I called you to do this thing." It was to serve with kids, right, in ministry. And I was like, "God, it's not going to be right now. I have a little baby. COVID's here. Like, there's a lot going on. It is not a good time." And God said, "Hey, I've called you to this." And I kept feeling him tell me this. And I remember telling my husband, like, man, this is just like, I feel like God keeps telling me this, but I do not want to do it. Like, it doesn't fit my life right now. Like, this is not what I want. It's really inconvenient. And that next winter, it really came to a head where I was just wrestling with God. And it came to the point, I mean, you can say, like, Kayla, you were obviously not wise, but it came to the point where, like, every message, every significant conversation I was having with people, it was like, you need to say yes to God. You need to say yes to God. And I was like, I don't want to say yes to God. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, that was my heart. Like, I want to be a mom. I want to be at home, like, with my kid. I do love kids. I served, like, the bare minimum, you know, like, okay, God, you're telling me to do this. I'm going to do the bare minimum. But God said, that's not what I asked you to do. I asked you to say yes to me. Say yes. And so Kaz and I came to a night of worship and prayer at the church. And, you know, this night specifically, I was just really wrestling with God. I remember in our Kearney campus auditorium, I was in the back row over by the pole over there. And I was kneeling and I was wrestling. I was like, God, I do not want to do this. Like, I know you keep asking me and you keep telling me this. And it keeps coming up. But this is really inconvenient. It doesn't fit what I want for my life right now. And I can serve you in a different way. Like, why do you keep asking me to say yes to you and to have this heart that's available? And the song started playing, and the words were saying, like, to be available to God, to say yes to God. And, of course, I'm like, of course it does say that, right? And then it came to the spot where the song kind of built, and it relaxed, and the line said this, and I will never forget this because God used it to change my heart. But the song got all quiet. It's from Elevation Song Available. And it said, for the one who gave me life, nothing is a sacrifice. So use me as you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart. And you guys, I'm an ordinary person. I have an ordinary family, came from an ordinary town. I'm not anything special. But God changed my heart that day. And God said, hey, will you say yes to me? And he did. He changed my heart, you guys, because that night I went and I told Kaz, I said, God did something in my heart tonight. He changed my heart, and I want to say yes to him. And Kaz said, well, what are you going to do about it? And I was like, as iron sharpens iron, yay marriage, okay, right? But I went, and, you know, the next step for me was I went and talked to a trusted spiritual leader. And I just said, hey, I don't think there's anything open or going on right now, but I just need to let you know, God's telling me to get back in the game. I need to say yes to him. So I just need to let you know. And there was, God provided a way. He brought me here. I love serving with your kids, you guys. I love your families. But I want you to hear, like, it wasn't because, like, oh, way to go, Kayla. Like, my heart was not to do that. But God changed my heart. And God wants to work in each one of your hearts today. Spider-Man, we love him because he was young, he was energetic, he was willing. God, like, man, use me for good, let me do something great, right? Once he had that heart moment, with great power comes great responsibility. He said, okay, I'm in, yes. Like, let me go where I'm supposed to go. I'm waiting for that Spidey sense to come on so I can run. God wants our hearts to do the same thing, right? He wants us to say yes to him. So today, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, man, would you say yes to letting God take your ordinary life and making it extraordinary? Because he can do it. The Bible has full proof. There's tons of people in this room that would share their story of proof that God takes an ordinary life and makes it extraordinary. If you have given your life to the Lord today, I want to remind you, with great power comes great responsibility. You have been given great power. If you've said yes to God, you have been. So with that comes the great responsibility. So are you using that? Like God said, you didn't choose me, I chose you to go and bear fruit. I gave you gifts to serve one another. What are you doing with the power that God's given you? Are you taking responsibility for it? So today, my prayer is that God would speak something to each one of you. One step to take, right? Pastor Nate always says this. He says, you don't have to do, like, monumentally better. Just do 1%, right? What's one step, 1% that you can do to say yes to God today with whatever he's speaking to your heart? If you're feeling ordinary, God, I'm going to say yes to whatever you have to make my life extraordinary for your purposes, for your good. So we're going to take a couple moments here to respond to the Lord. And I just challenge you, like, man, let God speak to your heart. Let him tell you, like, what's that next step? God, what are you asking me to say yes to? And if you're in the same boat as me and you're like, I don't want to say yes, I feel ya, I do, but I want to challenge you as a friend would. Man, would you just say, God, would you change my heart then? Because God will do it, and he'll make your life extraordinary. So would you stand with me today? We're going to pray at all of our campuses. Let's just take a moment to talk to the Lord. God, I thank you for each one of my friends here today. God, I thank you for everyone that feels a little bit ordinary, because God, I know that, man, you love when that's our heart, that we're just an ordinary person, and God, you want to use ordinary people for your extraordinary purposes. So Lord, would you speak to each one of our hearts today, Jesus? God, soften our hearts if we need them to be softened. Lord, challenge us if we need to be challenged to take a step. God, thank you that you love us and you love the ordinariness in us. Thank you for your word, and that is still speaking to us today, God. Man, you're good. God, I pray that you would bless my friends today. Remind them that you chose them and that you have great plans and a great future for them. So, Jesus, we just want to take a moment to offer our hearts to you, Lord. We want to say yes to you, God. So we love you. Thank you for this time. Amen.